Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Support for today's episode comes from Your Art Gallery. Your Art Gallery makes buying art an easy, affordable experience that you can do from the comfort of your own home. Buyers can purchase artwork from over 3,000 talented artists, showcasing their work for the very first time, and from seasoned professionals as well. And Your Art Gallery is eco-friendly. Go to yourartgallery.com/info/grown and use the promo code GROWN at checkout to get 25% off your order. That's yourartgallery.com/info/grown.
You are a rainbow, all the heaven I need to see. You're the promise, everlasting, and now where you are, I hope to be.
And oh, make me say it again, girl. Make me say it again, girl. Make me say it again, girl. You're all I need. Oh, yes, you are.
Strange. You really do sound like Ron Isley. You really do. Like, that's actually spot on.
Thanks.
I don't know if that's something you should be proud of, but you're welcome.
Welcome back.
Praise the Lord, niggas. Welcome back. I don't know. This is episode 72?
I think.
Getting Grown podcast with Jade and Kia. I'm Kia.
I'm Jade.
And we're here to talk about adulting. The good, the bad, the ugly. The tests, the trials, the twists, the turns, the temptations. The trials and the taxes of being an adult in the year of our Lord, 2018.
2018. How are you, sis?
You know, it is the day that the Lord has made. I'm doing my best to rejoice. I can't complain. Busy, working hard, moving and grooving. Ain't nothing going on but the rent. What's going on with you?
Always the rent. It is literally always about the rent.
Every single time.
You know, just gearing up for these shows and team typing fast this week. And
oh, yes.
Still
the
working.
Time has come. So, yeah, man.
I'm excited.
I was just talking to LaToya about this because she asked me if I was excited. I think I'm in a more of an anxious place right now. Excitement, I feel like, will come. But right now, it's just a matter of getting all these things in place because I am working very hard to make sure that everyone who has elected to spend their time with us on Friday night has an awesome time. I spoke to Dr. Freesbert today. I've spoken to, our connects at NYU and all our sponsors. And we're moving and getting these, you know, fine-tuning the last details and getting things in place, hoping that we will have an awesome time. Yeah, man, it's gonna be good.
It is. I'm excited for it. Dr. Freesberg
Freeze
really
Brit.
Just Brit. It's what I said. It was my accent.
Oh my God.
Dr. Freeze bit Dr. Sharon.
Yeah.
She's so dope. Last time, so many gems. She spit so many gems. And even though I am not in education or an academic in any way, shape, form, or fashion, I still got my life. So I know that everybody who will be in attendance is going to have a good time.
Yeah, man. Team Tapping Fast is not limited to academics. It's a community of practice for anybody who has work to do and is committed to doing the hell out of it.
Mm.
I think that it's just important for women of color to have spaces. We often find ourselves in places that were not designed for us. They did not have us in mind when they were creating a lot of the positions that we find ourselves in. And as such, there's a lot of trauma and suffering and challenge and difficulty that we have to navigate. And I just want to give us space to kind of talk about that and hash that out and think that through so that we can work through that stuff and not be bogged down or mired down with that we lose sight of, you know, the work that needs to be done. And it's really just important for us to remember the critical importance of prioritizing our personal development as we climb the ladder of success. So Black women specifically, but women of color in general, are out here known for, you know, getting the jobs, getting the degrees. But, you know, if we're not careful, we can let those toxic competitive environments and those spirits that exist, like in corporate America or in academia, or, you know, just in public policy and just pretty much in every industry and every sector. You know, we live in a capitalist society and it's a dog eat dog world. And if we're not careful, that competitive, catty, petty, stupid spirit will tear us down and will cause us to self-destruct. So I'm just trying to make space for us to do the personal work that we need to do in order for us to do, you know, the purposeful work, the things that our hands have been given to do. And DC was awesome in December. New York City is about to be even more awesome. And I'm excited to see what the future holds. But I'm not going to stress y'all out. I'm not going to hold y'all with that. The event is, in fact, sold out right now. I do have 2 tickets that I am in the position to give away. And if you listen, I'm not entirely sure how I'm going to give them away. I don't know if it's just the first person to email me about them, the first person to, yeah, I think that might be it. Send me an email. The first person to email the Getting Grown Podcast Gmail account and say, hey, I want those very, 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 very last 2 tickets.
Those coveted tickets.
The coveted tickets. I want to come and kick it with Jaden Kia at NYU on August 17th, this Friday. Send us an email. I'm going to pick the first 2 people, after which, you know, we'll just have to see you next lifetime.
That's it.
You know my
hand. Oh, my God.
I guess I'll see you next lifetime.
Well, hopefully we will have another New York City event before the next lifetime, but I'm just saying
no
next time.
Hard feelings.
Oh, Eric. But yeah, man, what's going on with you? That's enough about me.
Oh, yeah, and everybody who's coming, come hungry.
Yes.
Come hungry, please. Like, don't come with no bullshit about how you already ate, because I know that if you're saying that, that means you don't want to eat my food and I'm going to be offended. So
I'm lit. Tell the people what's on the menu, Jade.
Oh my gosh. So we are going to do some guava jerk wings. We're going to do some slow cooked beef sliders. We're going to have some delicious saucy curried beans, coconut rice and peas, mac and cheese, a fresh green salad, because we must always have something green on
That's
our
right.
plates.
No beige plates.
No beige plates. Not even at Team Typing Fast. And then a nice little mezze cheese fruit situation for you guys to nosh on. And also a rosé sangria, which we'll get into in just a little bit.
I'm excited.
But enough about that. Let's move on to our kitchen table talk.
Let us do it and do it till you satisfy whatever
it is.
I actually sound like Melvin of the Temptations.
Go on and do it.
Yes, Eddie.
I'll be Eddie.
Whatever it is.
Manly Stanley.
Yo, they used to have some nasty ass songs back in the day. I was listening to all kinds of, like, Secret Garden the other day. I was like, these niggas were gross. they were just elegantly gross.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't understand why, like, older generations clutch their pearls when they listen to certain, like, you know, the music of today. Cause I'm like, niggas been singing about pussy. I want you to know.
Like, Secret Garden is all about pussy. It is a song about pussy. Y'all just happen to just make it beautiful and sprinkle some sugar on it. Talk about here in the garden.
It may be a bit more subtle.
The temptation
nuanced.
Feels so right.
Right. It may be a bit more nuanced. It's packaged differently, but make no mistake.
Nah, Barry been talking about taking people's bras and draws off. Like, please, the older generation needs to stop with the shits. Okay, we all have been listening to what you were listening to, and it's just as nasty.
Oh, my heavens. My heavens indeed. All right, can we actually, like, do our jobs now? Okay, great.
Let's do our jobs. Let's get back to work.
Okay. If you enjoy Getting Grown, you might also love The Nod, a podcast that tells the stories of about black culture that you won't hear anywhere else. The show is currently highlighting some of the best of episodes from its first year, so it's the perfect time to tune in. From Beyonce YouTube conspiracy theories to a 70s team of black models that changed fashion forever, to the surprising historical connection between grape drink and black history, there's something on The Nod for everyone. They've talked about black hair on TV with Yara Shahidi, youth incarceration with Michael K. Williams, and Kung Fu's influence on hip hop with RZA. Subscribe right now for The Nod wherever you listen to your podcast, or go to gimletmedia.com/The Nod.
All right, boys and girls, fitteds and Tims, towels and sand,
peanut butter and jelly, mops and brooms,
chicken wings and blue cheese. It's time to gather around the kitchen table.
Oh, what a disaster this show is, my God.
And yet, people still keep listening to it.
I don't understand it. But
it's
grateful.
Time for us to gather around the kitchen table. So I'm starting the kitchen table off this week because I was watching a little TV. Mm-hmm. I've figured out how to watch the apps while I cook, so it's more enjoyable.
Hmm. My grandma always had a television in the kitchen while she was whipping her wrist, honey.
Yes. Older people always have a little TV
in the
kitchen.
Yes, indeed.
And then they start bringing out those baby ass flat screens, and my grandparents got one of those. I was like, y'all got that baby ass? That is just nice to have. So I've been watching my iPhone Plus in the kitchen while I'm whipping the wrist. And I was watching Girlfriends. Mm-hmm. And it was the episode where Tony went to launch her business. And, you know, Joan came from the perspective of concern. And, you know, she just kind of addressed all of the things that maybe Tony had not thought about. And Tony took great offense to it because she felt like Joan was being judgmental. And, you know, it ended up in argument. Of course, they made up at the end, but we'll get to that. And then also yesterday was the, or I'm sorry, 2 days ago at this point was, the season premiere of Insecure.
Season 3. We out here.
We out here. Shout out to our sisters, Fran and Crystal. Make sure you guys listen to Insecurity.
Do it right now.
You like subscribe. It is one of my favorite podcasts, and I wait all year, not only for the show to come back, but also for the podcast to return as well. So make sure you guys check out our sisters. But, you know, in Insecure, we have the situation with Molly and Dro, and we've come to learn, because I remember we had some debate. Or not debate, but we were trying to figure out if Dro's wife knew about them sleeping together. But we have come to be very clear.
Chow.
That she knows, approves, and that they are in a polyamorous relationship. And I think if I remember correctly, I always watch the first episode a couple times, but Issa kind of just let her do her thing with it. Kind of just like, okay, well, you're a grown woman. You know what I'm saying? But all of that led me to start thinking about the conversation surrounding judgment versus concern. And how there's a super fine line when it comes specifically to your loved ones, even more specifically to even friendships between Judgment and Concern. And so we don't really have anything framed, but we just thought that we might have some conversation around it. So I'm going to go ahead and alley-oop it on over to Kia.
I mean, okay, so I think, okay, I thought you were going to ask me like a question or something, but.
Oh, my bad.
That's cool, because I just
okay,
asked you one.
All right.
Nope.
Okay, bet.
Nope,
all right.
Canceled. I'm going to ask you one. So I think that, think back to a situation where you felt judged and what happened. What about the encounter made you feel like you were being judged what about it put you on the defense? What made you feel like it was criticism versus just like a presentation of an alternative perspective or help or assistance? What made you feel like it was judgment?
I think without putting all of my business in the streets.
Careful.
All right? Because niggas will use it against you, okay? I think without doing that, but what made it feel like judgment, I think, was how it was said and how it was done. And it was one of those situations for me, very similar to Tony, where I realized later on the intent in which, you know, because that sometimes, you know, a lot of times we don't realize people's intent when we're on the defense. And a lot of times people are unaware how they come off or how they say things, how they come at you. So it's kind of, you know, that's, but we can talk about that. But I think to answer your question, in that particular situation, the one that I'm thinking of, it was more about how it was said, how it was done, that made it feel like judgment, that made it feel more like judgment than just concern.
So in the moment where you focused on, was it just the focus on the criticism, or did it make you think about your relationship with the person who gave the criticism?
It was about the criticism itself, but it was about the criticism because of the type of relationship I had with that person. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that was my role dog, my Ace Boone, did all the dirt together, lived all through the teens and the 20s together, knew all the secrets, carried all the skeletons, all of that. That was that person. And so when they came at me about this particular situation, a lot of it felt like judgment because of the way in which it was done, like I said. And then also because it's like, wait a minute, you have been here for all these things. You know all these things. I know all these things. And you're choosing now to come to me in this fashion. And that's what also made it feel like more of a judgment. Am I making sense?
Yes, I think so. I'm just thinking,
I'm like, what about you?
Well, what about me? I think that so judgment. Like, we, first of all, don't judge me. Judgment is like being, it's the term
itself, it's overused.
Is being beat.
It's
to
overused.
Death. And
yes.
I think it's almost, you know, like, it's like we've sullied. Like, I
yes.
feel like we've, you know, because we use it so much, we've really lost sight of what it really means,
mm-hmm.
To judge, someone, or to, you know, be judgmental.
Right.
Because a judgment in and of itself is just an opinion or a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in judging someone, you are making kind of like a pronouncement, or just kind of, again, offering your opinion, but in a more of a suggestive or instructional tone.
Mm-hmm.
Or in a way that is intended to be shameful, or to make one feel guilty.
Right.
And again, I'm going to try now to not, tell all of my business, but I am I'm in an interesting space with some members mm-hmm. of my family who, you know, feel a way about a decision that I've made, you know, in terms of how, you know, just, it's nothing super deep. It's something very superficial, something very, when I say superficial, I mean, it's like surface. So it's like, let's say for the sake of the argument, because I don't know if I'm ready to just fully disclose, but let's say for the sake of argument, it's like, you know, they don't like the way that I dress, or they don't like, they think I wear too much makeup or something like that. Mm-hmm. So what bothered me, and my phone is way over there, and I'm sure you guys can hear it beep, beep, beeping, but don't mind me. I'm going to tell these people via my computer to leave me alone. So what made me feel, and in this instance, it was more, if it was just like, I don't like your eyelashes. I think they're too long. I feel like that's an opinion and I can handle that because I can hear you and be like, okay, you don't like them. You know, I'm sorry you feel that way, or I'm not sorry you feel that way, or like either way, that's just an opinion. But to say something like, you know, those eyelashes make you look like a slut. I feel like
you look like the front of a Volkswagen.
I feel like is you know, more judgmental, because it's more like, you know, even though it is still your opinion that the eyelashes make me look a certain way, it's intended to make me ashamed. You're like trying to shame me or guilt me out of making the choice. And what makes it difficult for me is that there's often no basis.
Right.
Like, I just need a receipt. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like, cause don't conflate your opinion, or even your concern with, mm-hmm. you know, with just, I mean, not conflate, but don't conflate your opinion or your concern with, you know, oh, this is me just trying to be helpful, or like a suggestion or an instruction. Like, yeah, that's what I mean. Don't conflate your opinion or your concern with instruction. Mm-hmm. Especially when you don't present a basis, right. Or the basis that you present is completely unfounded. Like, it's useless. It doesn't make any sense. So in this instance with my family, I feel like I can handle, like, what really angered me is that it's not necessarily that they're saying, we don't like the way that you dress, girl. We just don't like it. Because I just feel like, you know, like, it's almost like they're running from it. They refuse to just own it. It's like, we don't like it. It's like, we don't like it because of this. The way that you dress means this. And it's like, no, that doesn't mean that at all. Or the way that you do your makeup represents this, without really giving any sort of providing, yeah, like there's no reasoning or rationale for it. And it's often because God said so, or because it's in the Bible. And again, it's also oftentimes it's kind of like cherry picking of, like, you know, conventions or traditions or even scripture sometimes that's used as a basis. And it's often used in a way that's, you know, really kind of like a sweeping generalization versus it being like based on something substantial.
Don't you see hair braiding in the Bible? They said it's extravagant.
Right.
Don't do it.
So it's
are you
like,
mean to tell me I can't get my crochets? No.
And
that's not
like,
what that means.
You just say, I don't like your hair, or I don't like your clothes. I don't like this, or I don't like that. Don't say Jesus doesn't like it. Cause I feel mm-hmm. like at that point, now you're lying, right? Now it's like, And in that sort of, in those kinds of statements, it's like, you're then making an assumption of not only about the way that I look, but about mm-hmm. me on the inside, about my relationship with God, about my level of intelligence, about my level of engagement, about the ways in which I relate with God, whether or not I relate with God. And, you know, and on the assumption is that, well, you know, it's like, I'm telling you this, the assumption that I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm fumbling over my words. But like, don't assume that I don't know. I think that's what puts me on the defensive. If you coming at me like, oh, you got to do this, this, and that, and you haven't asked me whether or not I have done due diligence, It's like you're assuming that I haven't done it, and then I feel judged.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, I don't know. I guess, let me ask you this. That being said, since you have had these experiences where you've been judged, how has that colored the way in which you have conversations with people that you care about things that maybe, you know, how do you manage those kind of difficult or challenging conversations? How do you tell somebody something, you know, in a way where they won't feel judged? Are there steps that you take, or is it something like, I'm just going to say it and we'll just work through it as we work through it?
Well, first and foremost, I ask myself, is this my business?
Well, that is really, really, really the first order of business, isn't it?
Does this have anything to do with me?
Oh, and God. If the church would learn to mind their business.
Does this have anything to do with my bills, my well-being as a human being,
what
as
an adult, word.
As
what
a black
word.
Woman? Mm. So that is my first direction in which my steps are ordered.
Holy God.
Then from there, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to see a friend hurt themselves, but I also have to realize that people are adults and they're going to do what they're going to do. And if I do see you, on a path or getting ready to take a really bad step to the point where I now feel like it's time for me to open my mouth, I really try very hard to come at people with love and let them know. And also, like you said, make sure it's rooted in something. Not like, hey, you're smoking a lot of weed there. I'm not getting ready to do that. Like, are you getting up and going to work? Are you paying your bills? Are you calling me and asking me to borrow money? No, then I don't need to say anything to you about that. But if it's something like, hey, I saw you in a McDonald's parking lot shooting up in your neck. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to come at you like, girl, that's stupid as hell. What are you doing? You getting ready to fuck yourself up? No, because nobody's getting ready to hear that. And you have to make sure that if this is something that needs to be said, that it's going to be heard. Now.
Oh, that's a good point.
That does not mean that everybody is going to hear everything that you have to say. Like we said before, we're defensive as human beings. Like, it's in us. And I know a lot, you know, some of us are more defensive than others. But sometimes when you say things, people are not going to, they're not going to hear it at first. You know what I'm saying? And then they might need to sit on it. They might need to meditate on it. They might need to process, and then they'll come back to you. But, you know, for time's sake, let's say that this person is willing to hear you. Say it in a way in which they will.
Agreed. I also feel like a way to safeguard against making, judgments unawares, or, you know, I guess kind of preempting causing your loved ones to feel judged, is to ask questions versus making statements,
assumptions,
or making assumptions. I think if you go into the conversation from the, you know, from the position of I need to gather some more information to get more understanding, you know, because this is what I'm feeling, or this is what I am observing, and this is what I would like to say, but let me make sure that I'm right. Confirm versus just kind of assume. Now, I do feel like there are cases when you know something and you want to just kind of, you know, this is what I know. This is what I perceive. This is how it looks from my perspective. Because I do feel like sometimes, and we can be just out here moving and not be aware of how we look because we don't see ourselves. So,
right.
And I think given the nature of some of my relationships, I mean, some of my close friendships, like I totally want, like if I'm out somewhere and okay. Gay, this is a good one. So when I had a roommate a couple of years ago, and there was, I was getting ready to go somewhere this was before this, you know, this is when the sheer shirt kind of trend started to pop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know, I feel like even when you wear like a shirt that has like sheer panels or there's parts of the design that have sheer in it, but, you know, parts that don't.
Yeah.
And I bought this shirt from Target and I liked it. I didn't try it on. I just kind of liked it. And I was like, oh, wow, this will probably fit me. And I put it on and I was rushing and doing my makeup. And I guess I couldn't see myself, though. So, I mean, I could see myself from the front, but I couldn't see, like, it wasn't a full-length situation, or maybe I just wasn't paying attention. So my roommate at the time, hey, Linnell, I don't know if you're listening, but I was doing my makeup in the bathroom, and she was just like, sis, I mean, I don't mean no harm. I don't know if this is the look that you're going for, but you're naked. Like, you actually, like, this is not, like, you know, oh, she's being like, this is not subtle at all. Like, you are absolutely exposed. Like, so, and it wasn't until she said something that I actually looked and was just like, well, girl, this is quite sheer. Like, you, like, we can see all your bra. Like, oh, this is not like, this is a full sheer number. And I didn't know, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, in that moment, it wasn't, like, you know, she didn't shame me. Like, girl, when the hell are you going dressed like Amber Rose? Like, it wasn't that. But it was just like, I just want you to be aware that you are naked. And I don't know if that's what you're going for. If you are, you nailed it. But if you are not going for that, I want you to be totally aware. So, you know what I'm saying? You do have close relationships where you can shoot straight from the hip about things.
Of course.
Like, I feel like, you know, I can say things to Jade and I feel in the way that the nature of our relationship, I know that it will be received a certain kind of way.
Like, I can say, Kia, do you like these shoes? And she could be like, those are very you.
Yes.
And I'm not going to take offense to it.
I'm laughing. Which means that I really like them on your feet. Would I wear
right.
them? Absolutely not. But.
Right.
They are you, girl. Go forth and be great.
And I don't take it as no shade. Like, it ain't no sweat off my back. Like, it's cool. You know what I'm saying? So I also think, the degree, the heaviness of the conversation, also can dictate on how straight you can shoot. If it comes to you being naked and Linnell, as well as everybody who knows you,
knows that that would, knows I would be outside and be mortified.
Probably did not intentionally put on this Fashion Nova number. So, you know what I'm saying? Of course, all of us are going to come share that you like, Kia, your titties are out.
Where you going?
They're all the way out. Like, this is what you want to do?
Honey.
But I think when it comes to maybe conversations that have some weight to them, you know, a little more sensitivity might need to be had or dripped on top of whatever it is that you're saying. Not saying that you have to necessarily sugarcoat it, but just a little bit more tact might be necessary in situations like that.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
What are you
going to
say?
Also, you know, we want to talk to the receiving end as well.
Agreed.
Not just the giving end. Because we ain't perfect. None of us are. And I'm sure somebody has had to have a conversation with each and every one of us at some point in our lives. We spoke a little bit about it at the beginning. But, you know, I don't know if I really have a question.
No, I mean, it's not necessarily a question. You can just say it like, I think I hear where you're going, but yeah, just keep talking.
When you're on the receiving end of the concern,
right?
If somebody's coming towards you, I think a lot of times in order to help us to have productive conversations, we need to try to understand where our loved ones are coming from. And it is okay to tell people that they are coming at you completely incorrect.
Man, like, this is harsh. like, I want you to know that this is coming across really harsh. And I know you may not intend for it to be harsh, but I'm telling you that my feelings are getting in their feelings.
Right. Like, I'm making you very well aware that everything you're saying right now is not going to be heard if you don't switch up the way that you're talking to me. It is okay for you to say that. But I think a lot of us need to stop ourselves, self-included, when people are speaking to us about concerns that they have. And it will help us to have productive conversations if we check ourselves as well and try to see where people are coming from as opposed to anything else. You know what I'm saying? Try to see if what they're saying is rooted in some sense and they're not attacking your entire character, then it's okay for us to check ourselves too in how we're receiving criticism.
Absolutely. Because I think that our relationships are no longer productive if we cannot have challenging conversations. Like, if we cannot check our emotions, if we cannot manage our emotions or feelings, or things always get to a very volatile or defensive and offensive kind of place, if we cannot sit down and just have a conversation or a discussion about a thing without it going to blows, then you know, there may not be a relationship that is fruitful in the ways, you know, fruitful, you know, fruitful, period. So right. I, you know, echoing what Jay said, I think it's especially when you work hard on something. So going back to the girlfriends episode, and then I even think about, like, you know, academically, professionally, like receiving criticism on my work. I have had to grow, because, you know, going from writing as a doc student, writing in academic spaces where it's like, I am the, you know, this is my work. I'm responsible for it. This is all me. This is my voice. This is how I choose to frame it. And working collaboratively in, as a, you know, on a campus and stuff sometimes, but I had control over when I wanted to be collaborative. Now that I'm working and find myself in a professional space, I'm on teams and, you know, I'm required to work in groups. And that's a particular struggle for me. And it is a particular struggle, especially when it comes down to writing things, because people, you know, like to make edits and give criticism. And revision is a necessary element. It's a necessary phase of the writing process. But, you know, I've had to grow in that. When I write something, I put my whole back in it. It's like, this is, I have committed to this. I think that this is good. I think that it's the best. So if I'm sitting across from someone and they give it back to me and it's now bleeding, bleeding with all manner of track changes, all manner of comments and all manner of suggestions and critique, I have to, even when I submit something for publication and I get a revise and resubmit, I've learned that I can often cannot sit and talk about your feedback right there in the moment. Mm-hmm. And that's a practice that I've had to take with me into also navigating my personal relationships as well. So I need time. So if I hear what, like, you know, if you give me criticism, I can hear it. Oftentimes, it's best if I don't respond right then because I'm in a defensive space. Mm-hmm. Because you're coming for my baby. So this is something that I've worked really hard for. This is something that I believe in. And you're pointing out all the things that are wrong with it. I need to sit with myself and work through that and remember and remind myself that we're on the same team. Mm-hmm. And that you're not here to call me out or make me look stupid. You're doing this because you want me to look better. You want me to evolve and be better.
But this is my process.
But this is my process. So I've even had to verbally say this to my supervisor. If I'm handing you a document, we cannot talk about your critique or your feedback. I need at least an hour. I need at least an hour in my office so that I might have my tantrum and pout and curse and do all that I need to do so that I can then come back and really refocus and say, okay, now let me read this feedback and receive it as it was intended. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a good practice that I've taken with me in my relationships. Is a lot of times when you have these conversations and someone is coming for you, if or it feels like someone is coming for you, mm-hmm. it may require that you take a step back, take a breath, pause for the cause, and really just, you know, not respond right away. So that's where I'm at with my family in this conversation that we're having now about something that I'm doing that they don't like. Because it's like, okay, I've heard what you had to say. I'm going to hang up the phone now. Because I can. And I have to process and get to a place where I'm ready to respond to you in a productive way. Because if I don't take that time, I'm probably going to have some regrets.
And the thing about taking that time, too, is that, you know, you could, A, look at all of these quote unquote track changes in whatever form they're coming in and see that they're, like Kia always says, eat the meat and spit out the bones. There may be certain things that people say to you that could apply, that you could use. And it might give you some, you know, you might need to take some time, but once you think about it, it might be something that might be beneficial for you. Whereas there might be other things that once you've thought about them and you process and you sit on them, you still can come back and say, listen, what you said to me, I believe is still some bullshit.
I hear your feedback. I received it, but I still believe that I know what I'm doing. God bless you.
And it's all right to agree to disagree. You know what I'm saying? If you guys can come from a rational standpoint, but there may be things that people say to you that could help. There may be things that people say to you that don't apply whatsoever, and you can tell them exactly where you think that should go. But if you come at it from a standpoint where you've processed and you've thought about it and you've meditated on it and done whatever it is that you need to do, then that's what's going to lead to a healthy conversation.
Agreed.
So we just wanted to kind of talk about,
yeah,
the giving and the receiving of quote unquote judgment.
Yeah, like don't judge me. Like don't judge me. I think it's just, you know, given that that's the statement that I use frequently. And oftentimes, you know, I'm being facetious. But
of course.
You know, that's a real thing. How do you give your friends feedback? How do you state your opinions? How do you say what you believe, mm-hmm. if it is, you know, at odds or in contrast to what your friend might be saying or doing at the time? And how do you do so in a productive way? Are there good judgments? Are all judgments bad judgments? I just think that this was a conversation that we have started now. And we'd be absolutely anxious to hear you guys weigh in on what your thoughts are. What are the criteria of a judgment? Like, when do you feel judged? What is it that makes mm-hmm. you feel judged? How do you navigate when you feel judged? Like, what's the recourse? Is it that you're done? Or how do you bounce back? So yeah, we just wanted to start the conversation and see where it goes. I think that it was a good kitchen table talk.
Thank you, sis.
You're very welcome. So shall we move forward into the honesty box?
Let's go on and get into it.
In the box.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Teamy. Did you know that your gut can hold buildup from bad eating habits for years? Mm. Everyone holds about 10 to 15 pounds of toxins in their colon, which causes you to bloat, have low energy, low metabolism, and issues losing weight. TeamMe is an easy two-step detox plan designed to get rid of toxins and boost your health. Their 30-day program is easy for everyone, no matter your fitness level. All you do is drink your TeamMe Skinny in the morning and then drink the colon cleanse every other night. By adding Teamy to your routine, you'll start getting rid of the toxins that are holding your body back from naturally digesting and metabolizing. You'll feel so much better by just adding this two-step program into your life. This is not just for weight loss. This is for your health. It is summertime, and I have been eating ice cream, even though I'm lactose intolerant. Oh, and you know what I'm saying? Cupcakes and, you know, going on summer dates, Italian food. But I have been using my Teamy to get rid of all of the toxins in my body, and it's keeping me super energized when I have to complete all of these different tasks that I have to do on a daily basis. Order your 30-day detox by going to TeamyBlends.com and use the code GROWN for 25% off any order over $49.99. That's TeamyBlends.com and enter code GROWN.
Honestly?
Truly.
All right, let's open it up. It's the shoebox. It says, hi, I just recently started listening to your podcast and have become a fast fan.
Hey, girl.
Thank you, girl. I appreciate the insight about life's growing pains. Please call me Amethyst. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Come on, powerful birth purple thing. Rock.
Come on. February birthstones and things.
Love it. It's beautiful.
Amethyst.
I've been in a relationship with my fiance for over 3 years, and he happens to have a daughter around the same age.
Okay.
We started talking a few months after him, and the mother broke up. I've been in his daughter's life since she was born, and she's only known me as her dad's partner. So when she first started talking, we had discussed what she would call me, but never solidified anything. Well, eventually, she just started calling me mommy, and of course, that became an issue, as when she referred to me in the presence of her mother, my other mother, and with me, referring to her mother and my other mommy.
Oh, my Lord.
So my question is, what should I do?
Girl.
My fiance doesn't like the idea of forcing her to choose a name and believes she should decide for herself what to call me when she starts to understand. Mm. And what names have y'all heard for stepmothers that I could come up with as an alternative? I'm from the South and not comfortable with a child referring to me by my first name. Amethyst. Do you have any thoughts for Amethyst?
Oh, this is a mess. I don't know. I'm thinking through, you know, dad's thoughts on whether I don't know if I agree with that. I feel like I might need to sit with that some more, because my initial reaction was no. I think just like there are nicknames that emerge naturally when a child has been, you know, around an adult for whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like we call Dida because my older cousin just started calling him that. Like, it wasn't like, there's no other reason for it. My guess was that, I mean, if I had to pick one, I think Dida is daddy backwards. In some sort of weird ways. I feel like it was maybe some sort of, I don't know, play on that. But, you know, D-Dot was D-Dot when I got here. So I'm saying that, like, sometimes these kind of nicknames just kind of emerge. But those are specific instances. In any other case, you know, you tell somebody what to call you. Like, if I meet a little child now, I say my name is Kia. Now, if down the line as our relationship emerges, that child starts to call me something else, that's one thing. So I get that the baby just started calling her mommy. But I do feel like, it's the parent's responsibility to establish the boundaries in this specific relationship. And we shouldn't just leave it up to the child to just, you know, call her whatever comes to mind. I do feel like now that she's already calling you mommy, it's going to be difficult to get her to call you something else.
Right.
So I don't know if this is helpful at all, because I'm kind of stuck. I'm going to defer to you, and then I'm going to start thinking of alternatives. Go.
I mean, I kind of understand the logic of trying to let the child choose, but like you said, that clearly has not worked in you guys' favor.
Right.
So I don't really, what other stepmother names have I heard? I really like this new thing. I like what Miss Tina does when she calls Bianca her bonus daughter.
Yeah, because I think Jada, her step, yeah, you know, her blended family, I think, you know, my bonus son, and I think they call her bonus mom.
And I like bonus mom because it doesn't downplay
either
your role,
right,
in the child's life, but it also gives respect to the mother where she has it. And it's just exactly what it is, a bonus mom. I got an additional mom in my life, you know what I'm saying? But it doesn't take away from from her birth mother, who is very much in her life. So I personally really, really like the term bonus mom to answer that specific question. I'm not sure what other names.
Yeah, I don't know that I've heard anything other than bonus mom or just some sort of play on whatever your first name is.
Right.
So not like, like if your name is Deirdre, it would be Dee Dee or something right. like that. But yeah.
I think bonus mom is cool. And it might be a little long, but you know, it's fine. Everybody will get used to it. And I just think it's I think it's a nice alternative.
Right. And I mean, but I'm more like I said, I don't know. My immediate thought is now, like, you know, now that she's already calling you mom, it might be challenging to transition to another name.
Well, I think it will be, but I think she's at an age where with enough practice and persistence, you could get her. Now, sometimes kids, they really figure out what they want to do and they just continue to do it. Like my mom, her name for her grandkids is Yaya.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad, sometimes he'll call my mom Boo or whatever. So my niece has started calling my mom Boo Boo. And she refuses to call her Yaya. She's like, no, that's Boo Boo. And so now my mom had to finally just be like, all right, well, I'm her Boo Boo. Like, she calls me Boo Boo. Like, that's just what it is. And maybe when she gets older, maybe she'll realize that her older cousin calls her Yaya. But for right now, it's Boo Boo and it's fine. It works. You know what I'm saying? And everybody lets her do what she's going to do. But in a situation where this might make her mother uncomfortable, I think bonus mom is a nice alternative, and it just might take some training and some persistence.
Yep.
But I don't think it's impossible.
Agreed. So Amethyst girl, keep us updated.
Please.
Let us know what the tea is.
And continue to write your honesty box questions to gettinggrownpodcast@gmail.com. You know, me and Kia always come from a place of love, and we love to read what y'all are talking about. So
all that, man.
Let's move on to the peeves.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister, because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
It's time to put our petty on parade. So, I don't think I've done a listener petty peeve in a while. But I got one. We got one. And it's just really, really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, queens. I love when y'all queen us.
Hi.
I love your podcast. Hopefully I'll be able to come to a show one day. Flights out of the Midwest cost an arm and a leg and a firstborn. Such disrespect. Well, hopefully we can just come to the Midwest.
Hopefully.
We'll see how these three shows do. Don't have us out here.
Please. That's not my petty peeve. Have us function by ourselves, please.
That's all I'm saying. Atlanta, New York, and Philadelphia. Anyway, but off that tangent and on to my petty peeve. My peeve is people in their over application of perfume or cologne.
Oh.
I am talking to the grown ass men still wearing Axe, the women bathing in Bath and Body Works body spray, and those of you trying to cover up some funk because you just left the gym. Just take a shower, be late, and spare the rest of us. It is a constant struggle for me because there are particular people at my job who leave a trail of their scent. You can follow their whole day. My manager's nickname is Perfume Bomb because her smell hits you and then burns your senses. And another employee is called Chloroform. If you don't pass out, you pray to all the gods for the relief of being passed out. It makes no sense. The perfume industry should come out with some kind of device that tells you how offensive your perfume application amount is to others. Thank you for providing a place to vent, Keita.
Well, all right.
Shakira. So I absolutely agree with you, Keita. Your petty peeve resonated with me. First of all, I really want adults, since this is a show about adulting, let's just all collectively throw our Bath and Body Works and our Axe in the garbage. 1, 2, 3, go.
All right.
Just get rid of it. If it's not a candle or like a wall bomb or whatever those things are called, or some hand sanitizer, then it's probably time for it to be, or some hand soap. Bath and Body Works is good for a hand soap. But if it's anything outside of that, just throw it in the trash and not the bag. And if you can buy your cologne, unless it's a Glad. And you know, if you are over the age of 17, let's throw that Axe away. You don't need that anymore. If you can buy it from the supermarket, it's probably.
Remember the time I told you? Oh God, I was at some guy's house and went to take a shower and pulled that curtain back and saw some ex shot with you. And I was mortified. And I took it right out the bathroom and went to him and was like, "Nigga, you are too old for this.
Too old.
I want you to stop it. Stop what you're doing.
Just use some soap, my nigga. Just some soap and some lotion. Promise you'll smell like spring. Like, it'll all be grand. But let's just get rid of this Axe and this Bath and Body Works. We don't need it in our lives any longer.
Do better.
Do better.
All right. I think mine is going to be kind of brief, but let me tell you something, guys. I don't think that it's fair that those of us who have talent, you know, to sing, and who may sing, you know, with a group or sing, you know, at karaoke, or even if they are a entertainer or performer who gets paid to sing, I don't think that it's fair that people, like, if you tell somebody that you sing, they tell you to sing something, like, right there. I don't think that that's
fair. I hate that,
because I'm gonna tell you something. Singing is a talent, just like someone having, you know, strong math abilities, right? Or if, even if it's my job, right? If I tell you that I'm a singer, you shouldn't just, it's rude to just be like, sing me something. That's not how this works. Number one, nobody's singing you anything for free. Number two, if you're an accountant, I don't give you a piece of paper and tell you to account. Like, I don't tell you to do that. I'm like, hey, why don't you balance this spreadsheet? Like, I don't think that it's fair that I can't tell you how many times people just look like, oh my, and this is for, I sing in church. I've talked about this on time and time again. I'm an alto. I show up, I sing my part, I sit down. I'm not interested in being an artist or anything like that. And I don't need you to come and tell me every time that I sing, I don't want you to become my agent. All over the church, there are agents who want to come to you after you finish singing and give you advice about how you... Let me tell you something. Take the limits off God. You don't know what he has in store for you. Sir, I totally appreciate that you enjoyed the song that I sung this morning. God bless you. I hope that it ministered to you. But this is not your opportunity to try to get me, like... to get another job. I have a job. It's not yours.
Don't Barry Gordy me, nigga. I'm like, not interested.
Like, that's not your job, sir. I don't know who you are. if you are not Barry Gordy, then you should not come up to me and say anything. If you don't work at a record label, if you're not A&R, if you don't have a contract that you're willing to hand me, don't come up to me and give me no advice. Scram. Because I don't need that from you.
No.
I'm here to sing for Jesus.
No, I am not interested in recording in your cousin's garage. I'm not. Thank you.
But, you know, and this is not to say that, you know, if you want me to sing at something, like, because I have had people come up to me after singing in church, like, will you sing at my wedding? Will you sing at a birthday party? Those kinds of things I can get with, because if it's, you know, if it's a special occasion and I can be helpful and I can serve in that way, I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to help someone have a beautiful day. I'm happy to use my gift in that way. But I don't feel like it's fair that people just walk up to you and be like, sing something. Why are you not singing? Girl.
What?
Why are you not nursing? If I know that you're a registered nurse, I don't tell you to take my blood every time I see you. Like, why are you asking me? Like, that's it. Let me stop because I can keep going. But yes, that's my petty peeve.
I think that is actually a wonderful petty peeve. and I appreciate it. That's like people who ask me to cook them something. Well, nigga, are we in a kitchen right now?
Right. Like,
what are you talking about? You're not even invited to my house. So I don't know. People are annoying. But that is another episode of Getting Grown.
Sure is.
Kia and I are tired and we have much to prepare for the week. Can't wait to see you all at Team Typing Fast and Taking Care.
Don't forget to
see you the
Oh, yes.
Oh, go ahead, sis.
Don't forget to send your email if you would like the tickets that are available, the two tickets that are available. Send your email to gettinggrownpodcast@gmail.com. And the first two people who are in the New York City area and want to come kick it with myself and Jada NYU, the first two people will receive those tickets. I'm happy that you want them. I'm so happy.
Yes. Come hungry.
Come hungry. The food's going to be amazing. The sangria is going to be lit.
Yes.
And, you know, after Type It Fast is taken care, if you're still in the city and you have need something to do Friday night, come kick it with us at the Friend Zone Live at 8 p.m. We are going to be doing the Q&A. It's going to be a wang dang doodle. And then if you are, you want to come see us at any one of our live shows this fall, we would absolutely really appreciate if you would just not have us in any of these venues by ourselves.
That's it.
That would make us feel amazing.
So me and Kia can talk on FaceTime. Exactly.
Don't make us come for nothing. So, yes, Philadelphia on September 22nd, New York City on October 5th.
Yep.
And November 12th will be in Atlanta. It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be a funky good time. In the meantime, drink your water.
That's right. And fortify your blackness by moisturizing and minding your business.
Minding your business, because your black will crack if it's dry.
Absolutely. Good night.
Good night.
Good morning. Bye, guys.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.